We're coming to the Lord's Supper this morning, and we want to get to it and get you what God has given me and then get out of your way. Amen. And that's the biggest challenge I have is staying out of God's way. How many will pray for the pastor and say, Lord, help him stay out of your way? Amen. Oh, you want to act like you don't get in his way? Okay. All right. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm confessing my faults. You can do yours later. Amen. That we all may be healed, the Bible says. God has put on my heart a note from Gary Wilkerson. How many remember David Wilkerson from Crossing the Switchblade and Teen Challenge? Yes. A tremendous man of God, 70-something, I think, years old, almost 80, went to be with the Lord there in Texas where he was based out of. And I think there was a head-on collision, and God allowed him to be taken home in that. Well, his son Gary had a little personal note from him. He said, recently, my wife Kelly and I were in a head-on collision. The car was totaled, but worse, Kelly suffered a concussion and I broke my back. I knew this the instant of the crash as I felt my back explode. I burst what doctors call my L2 vertebrae. But I thank God I was not paralyzed. I'm making thank God that you're not whatever you're not, that you're still walked in here today. Some of you have had surgery, some of you more so than others know have suffered greater in some areas, and so you can really praise God on that. Hallelujah. I thank God I'm not paralyzed after falling off the roof. Amen. Hallelujah. Playing Santa Claus a few years ago. Yeah. Well, I really wasn't playing Santa Claus, but I was getting ready for Christmas 2 days before Christmas. You remember that. I like to forget that, but God was good. Broke my elbow, broke the bone completely off. Thought I broke my hip on the left side. How many know it's tough when you break something on both sides? Some of you may have been there and man, you're done. I never could come back. Once went to the hospital, Kaiser, and they did the surgery after the first of New Year because it was Christmas, and ain't nobody doing surgeries during Christmas. Amen. And the wife had to, you know, take anything upstairs. I couldn't get down, and it was quite a deal. How many have been through quite a deal in your life? I just say all that to let you know we're in this together. I said we're in this together. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so anyway, he says that after extensive surgery, I'm slowly recovering. Amen. Somebody shout, recover. Recovery is a good thing. And I may know we're still in the process of recovering in areas of our lives. We may not really recognize it, but we are in full recovery. Say, I'm in full recovery. I will recover. I am recovering from this, whatever your this is. The Bible says, if any two of us shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Said, anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If any two of you agree, shall agree on earth, touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them. And God says they shall recover. Hallelujah. That's why when I pray for people, and when we pray and agree together, we want to take God's word and put it in the face of what is happening to us and declare over us, I am in full recovery. I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm in intensive care, and I may be, you may be, but God says you're in full recovery. If you've had hands laid on you, if you've been anointed with oil, you can claim from that point that you are in full recovery. And every time you do, it makes the devil real mad because he knows that you're getting closer to God because you have the power of life and death in your tongue. What you say, you can have, the Bible says. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've been saying it for a long time. Keep saying it. Some things take longer. Some have greater callings. Greater things are going on. Amen. All right. Glory to God. So, Gary Wilkerson, we sends out a word, and I just felt the Lord wanted me to share this with you because it goes along with what God is saying this morning. It's called the giving life, and it has to do with the last night of the Lord's Supper. The last night of Jesus. Since we're coming to the Lord's Supper, do you think something you might be interested in? If you're interested in it, just kind of nod your head. If you're not interested, say, I'm not interested. Thank you. We can be honest, but I think this will interest you. I hope it will. It was the night, not before Christmas, but the night of the Last Supper. Are you with me? And Jesus was winding down his final conversation with his disciples. How many know the last thing somebody has to say before they leave is very, usually very important, always very important, and we ought to listen to people and their last words. Can I share something with you? I was in a conference just a few years ago, and the great man of God, Schombach, was the main speaker at the Pentecostal Church of God conference there in Dallas, Texas. And we had the privilege to be there. You sent us there, and we appreciate all you've done through the years. And he came up to speak, and he was speaking, and I knew it was some of his last words before he had to be helped up on the platform, and he began to speak to the ministers. It was a ministers' meeting, and began to speak to the ministers, and he was speaking some powerful things. And I guess he went over his time limit. And the bishop at that time, not the bishop, came up and closed his book and escorted the man of God off of the platform. I sat there shocked, mad. I was that close from getting up. I would have. Pastor May was pulling on me. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not going to help anything. It's not going to help anything. I said, yeah, but somebody needs to stand up. And this is on a Sunday morning. We're here to be ministered to. We're not. And then one of the guys gets up, one of the main pastors, and starts doing some jokes and going through their little program. And I thought, I want to say, with all due respect, brethren, what in God's name is going on that we would interrupt God, that we would shut God up? Nevertheless, I left that conference. That is all I could do to sit in there. Never went back for the rest of it. God's helped me. We have to forgive one another. That bishop is no longer bishop. That may be one of the reasons. Amen. I'm not here to say I haven't made mistakes. I haven't, been insensitive. I'm sure I have at times. If you ask the Holy Spirit, amen. Don't ask me. I'll tell you, no, I've never been insensitive. Amen. Hallelujah. But God said, I've put you here. I'm going to use this. It may not all be great, but I put you there to help make it what I want it to be. You can throw the baby out with the bathwater, or you can throw the bathwater out, the dirty bathwater, and keep the baby. Years ago, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. The leader in the position was such a dismal failure and lied, and just, I thought, man, I don't need that, and I threw the officer out with the office. And God had to come to me and tell me, I gave the office. I give the offices of authority, president, pastor, whoever it is, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's for somebody. I don't know who that's for. It's not for everybody today, but it's for somebody. Because leadership at times will fail. Are you hearing me? And you got to be careful that you don't get out of the will of God and throw the whole thing out and become an island and a law unto yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. That wasn't in the notes. That was for free. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a little pearl. That was a little gem. That was a little nugget. Amen. Yeah, maybe I said that in case I did something you weren't going to throw me out. Amen. Hallelujah. We can keep it light, can we not? Jesus is winding down in his final conversation with his disciples. Important. I got into all that because it's important. The last words somebody has to say before they leave this world. Everything he said that evening was with the knowledge that he was about to leave them. And so he concluded the gathering with an encouraging prayer about things to come. A church that would overcome and be triumphant. A people whose love for each other would be a testimony to the world. A divine power and authority flowing through his followers. And the glory of the Father resting on his people. These were all the things that Jesus would give to his church through the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Those are the things God has given to the church. We have not seen what we want to see in those areas. Can somebody say amen? But we are about to see it. I say we're about to see the glory of God manifested in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory is about to come into the temple. It's about to come into the house. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to a point where even like the Old Testament, the ministers were flat on their face and God moved. People were healed. You didn't walk out like you walked in. Amen. I've been believing God for years that the glory, and I believe it's here, church. I believe the glory of the Lord is manifesting and about to manifest in a way that is just beyond words, really. So I want you to think about what Jesus has already done. In 3 years of ministry, he healed the sick. He restored eyesight to the blind, raised the dead, miraculously fed huge crowds, preached the good news to the poor, and taught the masses the truth about their Heavenly Father. And it's an amazing list of accomplishments by the Son through his obedience to the Father's will. And Christ makes all that clear of this, that it was a result of the Father's giving nature. It was a result of the Father, the Heavenly Father's giving nature. By the way, this it shall be given. How many know it is also called the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee? I got that early this morning, real early, because I had to, because things were going on. But I want to tell you, we're in a Jubilee time. Whoo, glory to God. You didn't get that, but you will. We're just not going to talk about it. They've talked about it for years, but I'm telling you, I believe we're out there now. We're in a Jubilee moment. God says, God has anointed me to preach the gospel, amen, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, the gospel is the good news, to let them know that the year of your favor has come. I said, the year of favor has come. The year of your favor has come. I pray God witnesses that to you. It's not just somebody saying something that wants you to feel good, but God is saying this is the gospel. The year of her favor has come. That is the gospel. Matter of fact, one translation says to tell them, your sad days are over. Whew. Your sad days are over. And who has not had some sad days? Huh? The year of your favor has come. And so we're seeing the gospel here manifesting, and Jesus is making this clear that it's a result of the Father's giving nature. Christ makes that clear, and in his prayer in John 17, one word comes up more than any other, and that is give. The word give comes up. John 17, the last prayer God had for the church before he went to the cross. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I ask you to bless it. Bless the hear. Make it rhema. Father, speak to every heart what you want them to hear, regardless of what I'm saying. Use it. Go beyond it. Go in spite of it, whatever it takes. But take a word now, a personal word to every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And so he says this word keeps coming up in chapter 17 of John. Father, you have given me. You have given them. I have given them. And you'll find in the space of 26 verses, Jesus uses some form of the word give 17 times. I like the song we sang because that was in my spirit in my office last night. And I asked First Lady, I said, can we go to this song? I give my life away. I give. I give. I mean, no, Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive. I have argued with that verse sometimes. Can we be honest? Maybe. How many have ever felt more blessed to give, to receive? Oh, y'all want to be liars. Okay, that's okay. There is a joy in giving, but there's also joy in receiving. And I know if you're going to be a good receiver, you're going to be a good giver. If you're going to be a good giver, you've got to learn to receive. Some people give, but they don't know how to receive. It's kind of a pride thing. Amen? No, I give. I'm in control. Well, you need to learn how to receive. Huh? And then some need to learn how to give. Taking, 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 takers, but there's also takers and givers, amen. And we need to move in all of that. So the first thing we notice in this amazing prayer is how often and generously the Father gives. It's his nature to give good gifts to his children. Last Sunday, the verse God gave me when we had the testimony of miracles was, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or changing. Every good gift, every perfect gift. How many know God has some perfect and good gifts? Some of you have gifts that you didn't get at Christmas. They've got your name on them. God has them for you. Somebody ought to get happy with something there. I've still got a gift. I got a gift of healing. I know it's got my name on it. I haven't got it yet. I don't know where it's at. I've been looking for it. I'm trying to find it. But I know it's mine. I know it's got my name on it. And I'm going to get a good gift from my Father, because I know my Father is good Father. And he's not trying to withhold or torture me, or he's a good God. How many are assured that God is a good God? At some point, you're going to have to come to a place where you know God is good. Because if you don't think God is good, then you will always wonder if you're good enough to receive. I heard, I believe it was Franklin Jensen said, he said, you don't do good to get good, you get God to do good. I better say that again. That was kind of, you don't do good to get good, to get God. You get God to do good. And it's not a do, do, do. It's done, done, done. Hallelujah. All right, some of you didn't get that. About 3 o'clock, it'll hit you. Amen. Sometimes we're driven by the do-do-do. Come on. But it's done. We just need to receive it. And so we see the word give here, and that's what we're focusing on, the giving life. It's his nature to give good gifts. And when he sent his son, he listed all that he would give him. I'll give you the power and authority in my name. I give you the people of the earth. I give you words to speak and words to accomplish, works, and I will give you my glory. And in turn, we see that Jesus has the same giving nature as his father, like son. Hallelujah. Can they say that? Like father, like son? Like mother, like daughter? In fact, his prayer recounts all the things Christ had already given his disciples. Brother Gary continues. And the things he would continue to give. I may know God's a continual giver. This passage powerfully spotlights the giving nature at the center of God's heart. Amen. In a sense, that evening, Jesus gave the disciples his last will and testament. He was saying, I establish my kingdom by giving. Catch that. I establish my kingdom by giving. Not by getting. And here's how I want my kingdom to continue through you. And the last thing he gave the followers as far as before leaving was a particular calling. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have a particular calling. You have a calling, and your calling is to give. You say, well, Pastor, if I give any more, I don't know. That's all right. You're doing good. Let me finish. Give me just a few more moments. We've all been adopted into the giving lifestyle. Amen. It is the Father's nature to give. And if like any child who grew up in a giving home, Jesus shares his Father's giving nature. And now Jesus was calling on us to carry on the family name through a giving life. We carry on his name through a giving life. Somebody say a giving life. And to do this, Christ supplies us with a powerful image of the Last Supper. He lifts up the bread and the wine and says, this bread is my body broken for you, and this cup is my blood poured out for you. Note what Jesus then does with the bread. He blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. Those three things are very important. Amen. In doing this, Christ demonstrates to us what a poured out life looks like. It is blessed, it is broken, and it is given away. That's what it looks like to be a son or daughter of the living God. And this is the central difference between the average human being, whose primary aim is to meet his own needs. Somebody say amen or oh my. And someone who has found out life's purpose and pours himself out for others. Amen. In Christ, we're called to move from a getting life to a giving life. Let me say it again. In Christ, we're called to move from a getting life to a giving life. This is the keynote message now for the new year. And I know it's strong, but it's good. Amen. And Jesus, thank God, he empowers this transition for us in the Spirit, replacing our worldly spirit with his own godly spirit. I mean, we've all dealt with the worldly spirit. What is the worldly spirit? Get all you can get, can all you get, and sit on the can. Amen. He tells us, you have been blessed by me, and now you are meant to give those blessings away. I give my life away. God gave you your life. It's meant to give away. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. That can be the hardest thing for anybody to do. Oh, we do it in some areas of what we want to do. We give what we want. This is a glorious theology, but it's the hardest transition we will ever make in life. Over the past few years, the top-selling Christian books have focused on getting, the getting side of life. Their central theme is how God longs to bless his children, and he does. We know that's true of God because of his giving nature. He wants to open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing and mighty resources on us. And he does indeed want to bless our marriage, our health, our finances. And so these best-selling books have their place, and I admit I've drawn help from some of them. But there's something missing in these books. How many would admit and agree with me today there's something missing? Something missing in the church. There's something missing maybe even in my life. There's something missing in my marriage. There's something missing in my children. There's something missing in the pastor. There's something missing in my sister, my brother. We know there's something missing because when you get all the missing parts together, it's a glorious church. Ooh. God is putting the parts together. Woo! My God. We're about to enter a place that we've never been this year. God is ready to do something through you. It's not going to be you trying to do it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God in you as you submit. God doing it through you. Not you trying to be a Christian. Not you trying to give. God is a natural resource, natural response. Pour it out. Woo. And how many know you can't pour it out and God doesn't pour it back in? Come on, somebody talk to me. How many have poured it out and God poured it back in? How many have poured it out and it hadn't been poured back in yet? That's where God's going this year. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something missing. There's something much better than a blessed life of getting, and that is the broken life of giving. A getting life is easy. A giving life is difficult and rewarding. Come on. How many know that when you're called into God's service and God's honor, when God calls you, you don't do what you want to do. You do got what God leads you to do. That's how it's supposed to be. When I first started pastoring, I had the opportunity to go to Lone Piner or Big Bear. Big Bear was where I wanted to go. Took my kids there every year for vacation. Love Big Bear. How many love Big Bear? How many love Little Bear? Yeah. Right up the hill. Yeah, yeah. And so God sends me to Lone Pine. Well, I didn't get it. How many know sometimes we don't get it? Lone Pine, it didn't register. Lone Pine, Lone Pine, one pine tree in Lone Pine. I went up there for about 20 weeks on Sundays, and I said, Lord, I said, this is the last time. I said, this is not it. This is for retirement people. This is in the middle of nowhere. There ain't no Lone Pine. God, Moses had it better on the backside than this is over here. Now, I'm in the hotel room there. You know, they made a bunch of movies up there, westerns and things. It has quite a history, but it's all retirement. It's closed. And I'm sitting there getting ready for the service, and I'd already made my decision, basically, that this wasn't it. Amen. It's going to be my last Sunday, running up and down that highway, 300-mile round trip. And so I thought, no, this ain't it. Thank you, Lord. How many ever felt this ain't it? Yeah, yeah. And so I'm getting ready, and I hear Robert Schuller on the TV. Well, I had never been a Robert Schuller fan. I just never received from Robbie. Amen. It just didn't. It wasn't. I was more Jimmy Swaggart. That was during the 70s, you know. We were Assemblies of God, you know, brought up in that. And so we cut our teeth on Jimmy. Amen. But not, who was it? Not Robbie. Yeah. Yeah. And so all of a sudden I'm getting ready, and I hear him through. He starts speaking. He starts prophesying to me. He says, this is of God. I'm talking to somebody. God is calling you there. You don't think it is, but God's talking to you. I said, God, I repent. Forgive me for my arrogance, thinking that you can't talk to anybody that I think, unless I think you can talk through them. I still didn't care for his ministry, but amen. I still was open, amen. And maybe I appreciate it a little bit more after that. Yeah. And so needless to say, we were there for 4 years. Amen. And to add insult to injury, called back again 10 years later. But it was a good injury. I said it was a good injury. It was a good pouring out. It was a good giving. God said, leave the big church and go back and pastor your first church. And I knew something was wrong after 10 years. 500-seat sanctuary, blessed, TBN, CBN hookups, all the new converts came in from TBN. We were there. God blessed us on Sierra Highway there. Some of you remember Palmdale Boulevard. 7-Eleven wasn't even there yet. But I knew after 10 years something was wrong. I said, we should be bigger than this. 150, 200. We had a 500-seat sanctuary. How many have ever come to a place, maybe you haven't come there, something's wrong. I put a lot in here, and I'm getting a very little out. Somebody talk to me. Come on. Put a lot in this thing, and I'm not, something's wrong. And I would give things to people, give them authority, give them position, and through 2 or 3 months later, they'd give it back. I said, God, what? I brushed my teeth. No, I don't have halitosis. No, it's pretty good. Tic-tacs are pastor's best friend and yours. And so it took 10 years for me to finally come to a place where something might have been wrong, and not just in everybody else. I said, God, something's wrong. I need to talk to me, please. And God said, okay, I've been waiting for you to come to a place where you might admit something was wrong, and it wasn't everybody else. And he said, son, he said, you're so right, you're wrong. I said, say what? I knew it was God. How many know God's voice? Has God, had God talk to you? You know it inside or whatever, however you heard it. I don't hear it audibly most of the time. But as he said, you're so right, you're wrong. He said, you're right in what you're saying, but you're wrong in your spirit. There's pride in your spirit. You don't know. You got the biggest church at that time in Palmdale, and you got the most love in any church. You're a loving pastor, but there's pride in your heart. Pride, you don't know it. It's like bad breath. Everybody knows it but you. And so you got pride, and people can feel that, you got to be right. You're right, but everybody else has got to be right with you. Come on. I didn't plan on going here, but pride will do that. Pride will say, yeah, I'm right, and you are right. Now you got to be right with me. And then God said the second thing. He said, something else I want you to know, just because you've been right, and you didn't get here because you weren't right. But he said, just because you're right doesn't mean they're wrong. Those were new concepts for me because I believed in black and white. Amen. No shades of gray. I believe if I'm right, I wouldn't say it, but you got to be wrong. Pride says you got to agree with me. And they say, no, I won't agree with you because your pride is stinking up the place. And I can't walk with you because if I don't agree with you, then we have nowhere to walk. And so people are repelled by pride. Amen. And so God said, okay, I want you to start over. And I'm going to do it now. Amen. Just a little bit of God's working. Amen. Had the contract signed, had the new lease signed, getting ready to buy that place, had the TV little deal we did on TV, little live shot we did where we did a tape shot and they played it 20 times a month. Left the ZBN, TBN, all of that. God said, give it back to the Assemblies of God and get out of town. How many know it's better to do what God says? Sometimes we hold on to what we should have let go. It's a little slower, but it's God, as much as I know. Amen. Hallelujah. How many have seen enough of man to make you sick for a long time? You just about had it right up to here with all the peacock prancing. You hear them lose little cliches they do with the people because they know they can manipulate them with the rapture and this and that. And it's all, most of it's for this, for that. I learned that the hard way. That's another story for another time. Hallelujah. But how many know I'm still here? I said, I'm still here by the grace of God. And a bishop tell me, I said, God, what's going on here, brother? He said, brother, I thought it would change. But he said, preachers are dime a dozen as far as they're concerned. They care about the church, and they will sacrifice you in a hot second because they want the money, honey. It's all about money. Well, I'll tell you what, God's judgment is on that. And judgment begins at the house of God. And you're going to see some things. God is working. Amen. And I'll tell you one more thing. I stop giving to ministries when I find out, when it's exposed that something's going on and they don't make it right, you never get another dollar. When you got a vacation home somewhere that's cost $5 or $6 million and you took that money from little widows and people that gave dollars and here and that, and you're going to do that and you're exposed on that and God wants you to repent and you don't, I love you, brother, praying for you. But you'll never get another dollar. And you go through a divorce, you have a big thing, a big blow up, and you're high profile, and you don't come and say nothing to the body of Christ, and you go on like nothing ever happened. I mean, no, we got so much of that in the body. Ministers divorcing their wives, picking up their girlfriend, amen, leaving their children, and move right on with TBN. And I love TBN. And I don't put them down, I don't throw the baby out, but I want to tell you, it's not right. And I don't care how anointed you are. Care how powerful you are, how much money you bring in for the organization, you are wrong and you need to repent. And I tell you what, you don't sit under anybody like that. Won't even listen to what they have to say. I don't care what you're saying. Don't do it. I knew a pastor that got messed up here in the valley. He got demonically messed up, got demonically caused by demonic power. And one of his closest men that came in under his ministry didn't have the sense to get out of there. Ended up dying from a brain tumor while the saw went on. God worked in that eventually. Saul tried to nail me to the wall, but God was faithful. Anybody been through some things in here? Have they ever tried to nail you to the wall? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you more than I want to tell you. I'm telling you that right now. Let me close this up. Getting life is easy. Giving life is difficult, but rewarding. Remember, somebody shout, remember, he blessed, he broke, he gave away. Often in the church, the process breaks down after the first step. Many Christians don't get past the blessing part. They don't allow their lives to be broken before God, so they never make it to the last step, giving. Thus, they never see the fulfillment of God's purpose in blessing us. Jesus meets us as needy children. Christ often begins his ministry to us as if we're children with needs to be met. This happens throughout the Gospels as he restores blind men's sight, heals the bleeding woman, feeds the hungry crowds. He meets suffering people right where they are and gives them just what they need. And this was the reason enough for people to follow him. Even some of the Pharisees followed Christ because of his miracles. But I personally was convinced to follow Jesus, and he talks about how God personally convinced him. How many have been personally convinced to follow Jesus? Come on, talk to me. Personally convinced. Persuaded. Persuaded. Persuaded that he is able to keep what we commit unto him. Against that day, against the day when the devil comes to blow you away, you've got to be able to have committed it to him. Commit those children to him when you see what's going on there. Commit it. I know whom I have believed in. Do you know whom you believed in? And persuaded. I'm persuaded God is able to keep it. I may not be able to keep it, but God can keep it. Against that day that looks like it's not going to be another day. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a praise right now, a praise break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Committed. Commit it to you. Commit those children to you. Commit this to you. Commit the future to you. Commit it all to you, Lord. Amen. So Jesus does bless us in our time of need. But you see, that's only the starting place in our lives. He takes us from blessedness to brokenness because it's the only way he can bring us to real maturity. The broken path is how we begin to take on the giving nature. Stay with me. I know it's a little bit tough. But let's face it, our flesh hates the thought of a giving life because it requires brokenness. I'm here sitting there saying, I'm hearing it, Pastor, but I sure don't like it. Amen. Well, I take some medicine I don't like either. How many know the Word of God is good medicine? Whew. Think about all the bestsellers whose titles imply blessings. Now imagine a different title on the shelves, the one called The Giving Life. And you think, I want to be a giver, so you flip through the pages. You read of Paul, who speaks of being shipwrecked, beaten and stoned because he was called to give. You read of the other apostles who were persecuted because Jesus called them to a giving life. As you read along, you soon realize this is not going to be a bestseller. Mm-hmm. That much was proven in Jesus' day. Huh? The crowd stopped following him when he began preaching difficult truths. He preached one truth. He says, it's time for you to love me the way I love you. Your immaturity of wanting everybody to love you, but you don't want to reciprocate. He says, you want me to feed you, and you like that. You want this, and you want that. But it's time for you, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. What was he saying? He was saying it's time for you to grow up and to love me the way I have loved you. Glory to God. The church today, not this church, of course, maybe not like it used to be, but years ago, Brother Eric would tell you, and Sister Carrie, they still have the bottle, and they have it all fixed up. It's a big bottle, and it looks like me. It's got a mustache on it. It's got everything on it. No hair, just a big nipple. Some of you are getting visions right now in my head, and I don't like that, but it's okay. I love you anyway. The prophetic word came forward and said, Pastor, they just see you as a big bottle, and they just cry, and you just stick your head down, and they... And then he told me this, he says, the daycare is done. The nursery work is over. I've set the church free from this day forward. No longer will it be a nursery, but they will grow up. They will grow up. Come hell or high water. Now, I may know you might as well come along peaceably, because you're coming. And I see some of the heel marks. I'm coming, but I don't like it. See, I mean, it was just better to come along. Say, come along. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's tough when you don't. How many can say amen? Say, brother, I know what you're talking about. Whew, I wish I'd have done some of these things. Okay, I'll leave that alone. That'll kill the anointing. It was proven. His preaching became difficult in John 6. And when the people turned for the exits, Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away too? Now, as a pastor, if you all left and there was only six of you left, I thank God for the six that were left, but I wouldn't tell the six, you want to go too? And Peter, you know what Peter says, who do we go to? You are the Christ. Where are we going? Going back to what? There's nothing to go back to except hell. Whoo. As tough as it is, maybe going forward, it's damnation going backward. Go forward. It's a new day. It's a new year. I make all things new, saith the Lord. Forget what's behind. I forgot it. You forget it. Because I got newness for you. It's a new year. Don't drag the old back behind you. So Jesus says at 12, you want to go away too? Simon says, Lord, yeah, you're the Holy One. So Jesus' question puts us in the same position as the disciples. We have to trust that he is good and faithful. You see, we don't get to choose the agenda for our lives. I say, we don't get to choose the agenda for our lives. Church, that's not popular. That's not going to go over but like a lead balloon. But you do not have the to choose your agenda. But how many know in the church that I pastored for almost 40 years, we had a saying in the juvenile halls that was ROP. Some of you know, running your own program on your terms, your agenda. Matter of fact, a lot of people in church, they don't say it, but they act like they're doing God a favor. You ought to be glad I'm here, Pastor. Well, I am. If you wasn't here, I wouldn't be able to be here. But how many know we're not doing God a favor? He's doing us a favor. I said he's doing us a favor. Hallelujah. I knew that was for the other church down the road, so you don't get to choose the agenda for your life. If we did, we'd all be getters, not givers. When we choose our agenda, we become a getter. Come on. We are focusing on the getting side. We come in to get. The concept in the church is everyone comes with a psalm, with a hymn, with a word, to build up the body of Christ. It's not to come hear one man hog the pulpit. Are you hearing me? There's still to be order in the church. But when we come, and I learned this a long time, but when I came to give something. Whether I ever had an opportunity to give it, I came prepared and ready, hearing from God to give something in that service if it was just my tithe and offering. Sometimes that's all I could give. That's all I was, that's where I was at that time. But I felt good about that because I knew I was helping that little church stay there, helping that pastor, helping the people that were being helped. And that it meant something because the devil will come by and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Nobody's going to matter. Nobody's going to care. They're going to miss you. Don't believe that lie. Are you still with me? Somebody say, barely. So you think, I want to be a giver, so you flip through the pages of the book, this bestseller that's never going to be, and you read on Paul, who speaks of all that shipwrecked and beaten and stoned because he was called to give, and you read about the other ones persecuted because Jesus called them to a giving life. As you read along, you soon realize this is not going to be, and I already told you that. How many know God gives you grace for whatever God calls you to? Don't worry. God may not have called you to be a martyr. Don't worry about that. There are martyrs. God gives them grace to be a martyr. When you get in that situation, matter of fact, you have grace for your situation right now. You couldn't have gone through what you're going through without the grace of God to help you get through the insanity and the demonic attack. It's only the Lord that some of you even have your mind left. Because these things are aimed at your mind. That's the battlefield. The devil wants to control, manipulate, intimidate. He is, that is who he is. Witchcraft. Anytime you find people intimidating, controlling, manipulating, you know there's a spirit of witchcraft working. I don't care if it's from the pulpit or in the pew. And you either control people by love, the love of God. What they say, if it's love, you let it go. If it comes back, you got something. If you ain't, you didn't need that anyway. Glory to God. Don't try to manipulate me. We're pretty good manipulators. I may know we were born manipulators. Oh, you know you manipulated mama and daddy. If you couldn't manipulate daddy, you manipulate mama. If you couldn't manipulate mama, you go to daddy. Oh, honey bun, that's okay, yeah. Uh-huh. And then you intimidate your brother, your sister, and control. Woo! How many of you ever had some control issues? I know you can't raise your hand. Control. Oh, man, we all have control issues. You don't think you have a control issue? Let somebody mess with your control. You will get rejected. You can't tell me what to do. And see, we want to control because we want to be in control. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what's going to happen. I don't like being insecure. I don't like feeling that I might be on the curb if I release. Well, we better not go there. But the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. What does that mean? That means don't try to understand everything. I understand it. You just trust in me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it all out. We want to figure it out. We're great figurers. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what you are. Hey, man, I want to know how you're going. Well, all that's good, but sometimes you're going to have to trust the Lord at some point. At some point. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, he said, and he'll direct your path. That's the part I fell down in and have fallen down. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I wasn't acknowledging the Holy Spirit in all my ways. I'm just doing what comes naturally. Not that thing, but you know what I mean. Just doing what I thought I needed to do. I don't want anybody to get the wrong honor. You missed that. Somebody was probably good you did. Amen. I may know when you've heard of leaders falling things, though, they're running their own agenda. Huh? And it's easy to do. It stops and starts with the giving and the getting. Can you handle just a little more? He puts the same position to us that he did the disciples. That's why Jesus sets the agenda, and with every hard direction he leads us, we can be sure he does so in love. If you got a hard direction he's leading you, he does it in love. He's going to be with you. He knows what the future is. He knows what's ahead. Trust him. I said, trust him. The reason we don't trust him because we don't like what we see in the future. We don't like where he's leading us. We don't want to suffer. We have a religion in America that is suffer less. Come on. But I love the scripture God gave me for this, Luke 6:38. He says, oh, I was going to close with the communion of that. Maybe I need to close. Oh, I do. Hallelujah. The command Jesus left with Peter was a command to feed his sheep. Amen. He kept responding. He kept telling Peter, feed my sheep and do you love me? He says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed them. And Jesus asked him 3 times, why did he do that? Because the word for love that Jesus used here is the Greek word agape, indicating selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. This kind of love says, if you despise me, I will give to you. If you reject me, I will still give to you. And if you hurt me, I will keep on giving to you. I may only be able to pray for you because I can't be around your crazy self. Come on now. Don't want nobody getting no misunderstanding here. If you're going to act crazy and be crazy, then you can be crazy by yourself. Okay. How many leaders have we had that have given counsel to women that have been abused in a marriage and told them, no, just hang in there. You know, God will take care of it. No, you need to take care of it. You need to move about 5 miles away, get you a restraining order. Man, when I hear spiritual leaders doing that kind of stuff, God, makes me want to go over and smack them. Really does. I could get in the flesh real easy. I could knock on their door and say, you stupid. You live in that. Here, let me beat you up. See how long you stay. Come on. Blacken your eyes. Put a few knots on your head. Kick you around. Intimidate you with filthy mind talk, devil talk. Trying to control you and overtake you. No. Somebody say no. 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 Not today, not tomorrow, not never. He wants you to have the agape love. Well, you forgive things you never thought you could forgive. You could suffer people you never thought you could suffer. You could go through things you never thought you could go through. You can allow people to take you through things you never thought you could go. And there is the leading of the Spirit again. Don't misunderstand me. God is such a good Holy Ghost because He leads us and guides us. He says, feed my sheep. If you love me, give your life for them. Give your life for them. Jesus was commissioning Peter to a giving life. He knew the disciple was up for it because of the preceding week. Peter had been broken deeply. Anybody been broken deeply? I said, has anybody been broken deeply? So there's some in here that have been broken deeply. Truly, truly, he says, I say unto you, and that was the crux. Jesus describes the very crux of the giving life, brokenness. Truly, truly, I say, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. And when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go. And he said this, he showed him to show him what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. I said, what? You just told me this is the kind of way I'm going to die, and then you tell me follow you? Huh? God tells you something, and you say, oh, man, I didn't want to hear that in that service. Good God. Huh? I may have stayed longer than you thought you would in the situation. Stayed longer than you wanted to. Stayed with somebody and something. Come on. Because of the agape love. Ooh. Your human love will only go so far. I got to have agape. I never knew about agape for years, even being a pastor. I love you. I had a lot of love. But boy, there comes a time when you can't, your love will come to an end. I said, there comes a time when your love will come to an end. And this year, 2016, I don't know what it holds, but I want to tell you, it's going to be a tough year for the world. It's going to be a great year for the church. Stay close. If you're on your agenda, get off of it. Get on God's agenda. Be where God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. Serve where God wants you to serve. Get in the house, butterfly. At least I didn't call you a worm. Although we all were worms, weren't we? Till we became butterflies. Says, follow me. And Peter, I like Peter, says, well, what about him? If I got to do this, what about him? Jesus says, forget about him. Don't worry about him. You just come follow me. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do what I got for you. It's not what he's doing, she's doing. It's what I'm doing for you, with you. And how many know God's got something different for every one of us? You may never be called to be a martyr. May never be called to go through things the one sitting next to you has been called to go through. You may never endure some of the things that people have endured in this congregation today, right now. Thank God for it. That's God. There's a different plan for everybody. I thank God for where I'm at. I've been through some stuff. I've been through some suffering. You all have. But I want to tell you that verse. And I'm going to, because we're going to go to the Lord's Supper. And so he tells him, he says, you may find yourself being poured out painfully like communion wine, but in doing so, you will become other-centered, powerful, influential, and the world will see the difference. The world will see the difference. How many know the world can't hardly see the difference between the church and the world today? Come on, somebody be honest with me. They see you go to church. They see you get in your car. They see you go. And I've seen people get in the car and go to church and go out that door and cuss a blue streak up. Cuss each other out. And you know, you ain't had none until you've had a good cussing. Some of God's people are the best cussers around. I got a phone call. I was at something special. Oh, I was at the banquet. And I got a phone call. I know, I got a text. And they gave me some FUs and... You think you're all of that? I said, whoa. I said, Lord bless him. I may know. Till you say, Lord bless him. Bless those that curse you. You liable to get yourself in some trouble trying to find that joker. Amen? Amen. The Lord told me a long time. He says, man, when the devil starts bringing things up and you want to bring them out of where you put them in the grave and beat them up some more and throw them back in the grave a little while and bring them up again later. Come on, you know that's true. The devil will come by you just like he comes by me at times and says, remember what so-and-so did to you? Yeah, that dirty so-and-so, I hate his guts. I may not say that, but I'm thinking, yeah, the devil wants to get me off on that. Yeah, they did that. Man, that was wrong. That wasn't right. Shoot. And immediately, I just got to turn it. The Lord said, bless him. He told me, don't even say God bless him. Just bless him. You don't even have to say God. Just bless them. Bless them, and I send good things to them. Somebody say, bless them, and I send good things to them. Some of you said, I send good things for them. Some of you didn't even say it. Come on now. It'll set you free. And whenever I do that, I move right on. I forget about that. I just move right on, and they're back in the, well, wherever they are. Amen. Come on, stand with me. Hallelujah. If you don't stand with me, we'll sit here all day. Can I tell you something? You and I may not get to do what we want in this life. We get to do a lot of things. I said we get to do a lot of things. But I don't get to do everything I want to do. I'll make a say amen to that, Pastor. We may not have the best life that all those bestsellers promise, but we can't have a life that reflects the glory of our Lord's giving nature. By giving your all for others with agape, unconditional love, you may find yourself being poured out painfully like communion wine. But in doing so, you will become other-centered, powerful, influential, and the world will see the difference. They will know us by our love. Your giving life will reveal God's own glory and a witness to the world of his generous, loving nature. Whew. I may know the world needs to see that. They need to see something different from this preacher. So I want you to confess with me as we... I saw this from, I believe it was a person named Stephen Covey. He said, your most important work is ahead of you, never behind you. Your most important work is ahead of you. Say it with me. My most important work is ahead of me, not behind me. So forget what's behind. That's right, and press forward to what's before. Now would you confess one more thing, and then I'll leave you alone. Would you confess with me, I declare over my life the upcoming manifestation of God's goodness. Woo! Do you know what you just said? You are about to see. Look at somebody and say, you're about to see God's glory manifest in my life. Somebody shout, glory! The glory of God is the goodness of God. Moses said, show me your glory. He made all his goodness to pass before him. Say it with me, this world is not going to end with us, Christians, on the losing side. The glory of God is about to rise and shine in my life. Why? Because you know who you are, church, and you know whose you are. It's a manifestation time in the body of Christ. I said it's manifestation time in the body of Christ. Mark it down. It's manifestation time, 2016. Manifestation time in your life for all you've been through and all God has led you through. God is about to manifest his glory. Woo! Victory unto victory. It shall be given. I celebrate your victory in Christ today. And I cannot tell you how thankful First Lady and I are. Amen. For your love and your seeds, your sowing, your support. It gives us the opportunity to minister to people far from here. And as we heard the word of prophecy, this year will even be greater. And that every person become aware of the Christ in them can be. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a praise as we go to the table this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jubilee, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Since I've kept you this long, I want to give to you what the Lord put in my, would you bring my shofar, please? As we come to the table. This is the, I believe, the year of your Jubilee and mine and the church. Amen. Sweetheart, you want to step up here? The Bible says, praise him with the blast of the shofar. Psalms 153. Numbers 10:8 says, blow the shofar throughout all generations. Revelation 1, John the Revelator declares, it is God's voice going forth. Bible says his voice, as it were, the sound of the shofar, the trumpet, calling God's people to assemble, to worship, to war. It is the sound of your deliverance. It is the sound of your healing. It is the sound of your provision, your victory. Somebody shout victory. Victory. Over all the power of the darkness. And it sounds that way to all your enemies, for they know that all your enemies are defeated. Jubilee is here. Restoration is ours. I want you to lift your hands. Let the devil know everything he's ever put on you is broken off. In the name of Jesus. Woo, the voice of the Lord going forth. My deliverance is here. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah to God. Lord, we bless this bread and we bless this cup in the name of Jesus. We get it to the people. The Bible said, get it to them quickly. Amen. There was a death angel going over the camp. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus over your life? If you have given your heart to Jesus, the blood of Jesus, there is a mark of God on you that says, you are forgiven. Are you hearing me? The price has been paid. Jesus is Lord. If you're here today and you've not given your life to Christ, or if you've been separated or walked away or somehow have been away, I call you back. I invite you back through this table. Amen? To come back. Amen. If you're not where you are today, where you have been in the past, you say, Pastor, I'm not as close as I once was. I remember my consecration and dedication. Things have happened. Situations, circumstances. The Father is calling you back, saying, come back. It all can be under the blood. I hold nothing against you. I am for you, not against you. I remember your sins no more. Give them all to me. Your good, your bad, the ugly, the beautiful, whatever it is, give it to me. Give it all to Jesus. Would you do that today? This beginning of this new year, would you just give everything to him, this first service of the year? And thank God for the giving life. Thank God for the receiving. We receive this. This is my body which is broken for you. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Amen. We give it in his name. Amen. I apologize, we ran out of cups this morning. So you may have to share a cup with someone that you would want to share one with. I think we might have enough. So I was going to pour it in a big chalice, but that was old times. Amen. I give my agenda to you, Lord. Take it. Give me your agenda, Lord. Your will be done. Can you pray your will be done? Your kingdom come, Lord. Help me to give my life the way you want me to give it, Lord. On your terms. Your terms, that's it. Your terms, Lord. I'm already forgiven, but forgive me, Lord, where it's been on my terms, my agenda. Help me, Jesus. It's been the most patient baby I've ever seen. Services are not normally this long, but I believe it's been God this morning. I trust it has, as we key this whole year. How you receive this message today will determine a lot how your year goes. Are you hearing me? Help us to give ourselves away, Lord. There's only so much of us, so we need more of you. I said we need more of him. And help us, Lord, in the suffering. I've got a word for you as we come so I can get it to you. If you will listen, I believe this is what God gave me to close. He said, 1 Peter 5, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. That is what this ministry is based upon. 1 Peter 5, 7, he cares and we care. Stay alert. Somebody say, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Somebody shall stand firm against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world, how many know brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are and greater? Amen. How many see the suffering of the Christians over in the Middle East and can thank God that praying for them and that we may be called upon before Jesus comes? I don't know, but I know God will give grace. We are to pray one for another. But I remember what our brothers and sisters are going through all over the world. I have some of their names that are in Korean and Iranian prisons. The same kind of suffering you are and some greater. He lets us know that we've all been through some suffering. Oh, God, thank you that you recognize it and you mention it and you see it. In his kindness, God called you to share his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a while, a little while, he will restore, somebody say restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Yeah, not the foundation that wants to move and you're not sure where your next step might be. But he says, I'm going to place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. After you have suffered a while. It goes with the message, not the give part, but it shall be given. God is focusing on the second parts. After you suffer, well, we have suffered a while. How many could say, Pastor, I have suffered a while? Come on, I've suffered a while in this situation, and I'm still suffering today. I don't understand everything that's going on and why it's been this way, but I still love you, Lord. I'm still in love with you. How many can say you're still in love with him, even though you don't understand why it's been so long and why you've had to go through what you've had to go through, and especially when you've done all you can and it wasn't enough. Lord, I thank you. After you suffered a while, whew, we're on the good side of that. God will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and place you on a firm foundation. Hallelujah. I declare that over your lives, the life of this church, our lives, Lord, today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you this morning. Lord, we ask you that as we come before you, Lord, that we examine ourselves and we put everything under the blood. Mm-hmm. We remember your provision. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus over everyone within earshot of what I'm saying. Lord, as we take communion this morning, break our hearts that they can be molded in the image of Jesus. Touch our bodies that we would walk healed and prepared for the race that is yet ahead of us. Give your people wisdom for times that are difficult. Grace. But above everything, Lord, help us to fulfill the greatest commandment, that we would love one another the way Christ has first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat. Amen. Now receive his blood, his cleansing blood. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say with me, everything's under the blood. Say, devil, the blood is against you. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Jesus is Lord. I bless you, Lord. Happy New Year. Amen. Give him a praise. God bless you. I love you. God loves you. Have a great New Year. Amen.